One man stands tall in the face of adversity.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
A man who rises above the ashes of hot takes.
What do you care what they say?
Easy for you to say they will love you.
It's just noise, man. You're really good at it. You might be great.
That man is Nick Kostos, and this is You Better You Bet.
If loving sports is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Where narratives are challenged and the truth is spoken.
I told you what was going to happen last week. If you didn't listen, that's on you.
This isn't talk, it's perspective.
It's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see.
This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry magnificent football Monday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos on Westwood One Sports as we come to you live from Radio Row in San Francisco, California. I would say it's the site of Super Bowl 60, but that's not technically true. The site of Super Bowl 60, Santa Clara, but Radio Row in lovely. Is it lovely? We'll talk about that in a few moments. San Francisco, California, Super Bowl 60, Radio Row, bringing you shows all week from here. And if you are not watching the show on YouTube or Twitch, would highly recommend doing so this week. We will have the A-list of A-listers. The guest list is unbelievable from our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, sitting to my left here. The guests are going to be crazy. You're going to want to be watching the show this week on You Better You Bet as we bring you the fastest show in all of sports. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. And on this Monday, Super Bowl week, year of our Lord 2026, the world of sports is buzzing, and we're going to get to all of it, including the Las Vegas Raiders and the Arizona Cardinals, literally while I'm in the air yesterday flying to California, hiring new head coaches, Clint Kubiak in Vegas, Mike LaFleur, not Matt, Mike LaFleur in Arizona. We'll talk about those hires and why, unfortunately for those fan bases, I don't think it'll matter much for the 2026 NFL season. We got a big weekend in hoops we got to dissect, and we'll start in the NBA when we do that with Oklahoma City, the Thunder, showing they are still the big dogs on the block with a big road win at Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. All the bets for tonight coming up in the power hour, the final hour of the show, and the guest list on this Monday is awesome. How about this in the final hour of the show? Mike Sando is going to join us from The Athletic, and Mike is basically serving as kind of the de facto mouthpiece for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And you know, because you've listened to the show, you've watched the show, how much respect I have for Mike Sando. He's been on the show a bunch, friend of the show, and Mike's had to basically take the slings and arrows from everybody in the wake of last week's disastrous decision to not elect Bill Belichick to the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. I'm going to ask Mike Sando one simple question to start the interview. What the hell's going on with the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Mike Sando will join us in the final hour. Damon Amendolara, my friend from Mad Dog Sports Radio, will join us. Lindsey Rhodes from Sumer Sports will join us. And legendary NFL general manager Ernie Accorsi will join us as well on this magnificent Football Monday. But we begin the show, and we begin Super Bowl week here in San Francisco with gratitude. This set is freaking awesome. Like, to be out here on Radio Row for the fourth consecutive year doing You Better You Bet, and now on this set as part of Westwood One Sports, the set is unbelievable. You literally, I'm looking at the entrance right now to the media center. You walk in, and here's my face. A scary sight for everybody walking in. But here's my face. Here's the big-ass Westwood One set. It is amazing to be out here. Amazing to be a part of Westwood One Sports. You absolutely love it. Bill Zimmerman is here, our executive producer. Andrew Williams is here. The great John Romero is here. Armin Williams is here. All the heavy hitters from Westwood One Sports are in attendance. And just to say this about the city of San Francisco to start, because that is our host city this week. You know, it's a beautiful city, and I have family in San Fran. I've talked to some of the locals here. My family lives in Marin County, which is a very well-to-do, nice area. And it gets when I say that, everyone kind of looks at me funny. Oh, family in Marin County must be nice. Yes, for them, it's really nice. I don't live there. And I've been to San Francisco a million times, and it is a great city. You would think driving through, walking through San Francisco at points, like you are in The Walking Dead. And that is not a political comment. It has nothing to do with political party. It's kind of the same way at points in Midtown Manhattan, like I'm from New York City. Just you would hope that as the week goes on and more people get here, because it's Monday morning, it's 6 a.m. local time right now, 6:05 a.m. local time. You know, there's not a ton of people here yet, but by the end of the week, everyone's going to be here, not just media, celebrities, Hall of Famers, etc. You would hope that that's a little bit cleaned up. So just need to start there. It's a beautiful city, and you would hope that it gets a little better as the week rolls along. So one of the reasons I love Super Bowl week, and I've always loved Super Bowl week, it goes back to when I was a kid, because Super Bowl week meant that at the time, and if you're of a certain age, you'll know what I'm talking about, that ESPN would run the marathon of the 30-minute, like Super Bowl games, like the highlight package of the games, telling the story of the games. And I would sit there, 7, 8, 9 years old, and watch all of them consecutively from at the time, like Super Bowl I through Super Bowl 24. And then the next one would be added the next year. So I really loved yesterday getting the chance, whether it's on my flight or, you know, landing and seeing it on televisions, ESPN's doing the same thing. And they're running the 30-minute packages of each of the Super Bowl games. I got to see some of Niners-Chargers, Super Bowl 29. Maybe the worst Super Bowl ever played. Steve Young, monkey off his back, 6 touchdowns. Steve Young finally winning a Super Bowl and emerging out of the shadow of the great Joe Montana. Super Bowl 30. With a rivalry renewed with the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Cowboys finally beating Pittsburgh in the big game to win Dallas's third Super Bowl in 4 years. And then, Super Bowl 31, Brett Favre finally winning a championship, the only one he would win in his legendary career, beating Bill Parcells, Drew Bledsoe, and the New England Patriots. And that got me in the mood. And I start thinking about Super Bowls. And I start thinking about this Super Bowl. Super Bowl 60, coming up in 6 days with the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks. At our show sponsor, BetMGM, Seattle, a 4.5-point favorite in the game, total 45.5. And if you're going to think of Super Bowl 60 with the Patriots and the Seahawks, and you consider yourself to be a football fan of any degree, of any measure, do you love football? Do you love the National Football League? Are you a sports fan? Do you have a soul? Then you're going to think about Super Bowl 49. You can't think about Super Bowl 60 with the Patriots and the Seahawks without thinking about the legendary Super Bowl that these two teams played following the 2014 NFL season. February 1st, 2015, Patriots 28, Seahawks 24. Of course, the Malcolm Butler game. Or if like this is like Rocky and Bullwinkle when they would have the alternate titles. It's not just, you could call it the Malcolm Butler game, or you could call it the why the F didn't we run it with Marshawn Lynch game, if you're coming at it from a Seattle perspective. And that game with the Patriots and the Seahawks in Super Bowl 49 actually serves as one of the great sliding doors moments, one of the great what-ifs, one of the great tipping points in the history of the National Football League, and by an extension, in the history of sports. So let's go back in time as we're approaching that Super Bowl, and what was at stake for both those teams, and then we can view it through the present-day prism. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around it today, right, in 2026, given what the Patriots were able to accomplish in the second half of the Brady-Belichick tenure. But at that point, New England, after winning Super Bowl 39 against Donovan McNabb, Andy Reid, Terrell Owens, and the Philadelphia Eagles, had gone 10 years in between Super Bowl championships. 10 years. 10 years in between Super Bowl championships and winning 3 out of 4 to start the Brady Belichick dynasty in Foxborough. 2005, losing on the road in Denver in the Champ Bailey pick six game with Ben Watson. The famous AFC Championship game choke in 2006 on the road in Indianapolis against Peyton Manning and the Colts. Losing Super Bowl 42, 18-0 to my New York Football Giants. 2008, Brady tears his ACL. Week one, Patriots don't even make the playoffs despite going 11-5 with Matt Cassel. 2009, Joe Flacco, Ray Rice, and Willis McGahee come to Foxborough and trample the Patriots and was what is still a stunning game to me. You want to talk stunning? How about 2010? 14-2 Patriots hosting Rex Ryan, Mark Sanchez, and the Jets. Can't wait. Jets win and knock the Patriots out. 11, lose Super Bowl 46 again to the Giants. 12, lose the AFC Championship game at home to the Baltimore Ravens. 13, lose to the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning on the road. 10 years and numerous times turned away at the very end. Had people asking this seriously, and if you don't remember this, it would serve you well to remember it. Are the Patriots going to get another one? Will Tom Brady ever win another Super Bowl? Will Bill Belichick ever win another Super Bowl? That's what was at stake for the Patriots entering Super Bowl 49. And for the Seattle Seahawks, they were on the doorstep of a dynasty. The doorstep of elevating themselves into legendary status in the National Football League, winning back-to-back Super Bowl championships. They were able to come back in insane fashion and beat the Packers in the 14 NFC Championship game, a game that they absent. I bet Packers money line in that game. That was frustrating. The Brandon Bostic game, the Jermaine Kearse game with Seattle winning in overtime to advance to the Super Bowl. So for Seattle, everything on the line to become a dynasty. And for the Patriots, everything on the line to try and reclaim their status as a dynastic team in the National Football League. Seattle would lead that game in the fourth quarter, 24-14, before Tom Brady, as Tom Brady often did in his legendary greatest of all time career, would lead the Patriots back. Touchdowns to Danny Amendola, touchdowns to Julian Edelman to put the Patriots up 28-24, setting up the end of the game. One of the most famous or infamous, depending on your perspective, mostly infamous for the country, I would say, given everyone does not like the Patriots, endings to a Super Bowl or any big game in any sport. Seattle had the game won. Run the ball with Marshawn Lynch, and you win back-to-back Super Bowl championships. Daryl Bevel, Pete Carroll, and Russell Wilson call a pass to Ricardo Lockett, not even their best receiver. Malcolm Butler steps in front of it, becomes a Super Bowl hero, and the rest, as they say, is history. And it reminds you of when you'll see sometimes on social media some like high school relay race where someone starts showboating down by the finish line and gets caught at the end. How the hell do you let that happen? Kramer in the famous Seinfeld episode where he's trying to with the girl with the bra, right? What's her name? The girl with the bra, whatever her name is with the. That's Sue Ellen Mischke with the bra. And Stan the caddy says, you got to go for the cup. Have her try it on. Why would you do that? Why would you do that, Kramer? Why would you do that, Jackie Chiles? Or me, girls into me at the bar that I really like, and I get too drunk and I blow it. It's happened more than once in my life. Not ashamed to admit it. That, the Seattle Seahawks at the end of Super Bowl 49. The Patriots would go on to win 2 more, 6 with Brady and Belichick. And Seattle would not get back to the big game until now. And now, the Patriots, with a chance to mirror what Tom Brady did in his second year in 2001, with Drake May entering year number 2, to win a Super Bowl championship. And you very much get the sense that even if the Patriots lose this game, this team ain't going anywhere. No, no, no. Josh McDaniels has done such an unbelievable job as the offensive play caller for the New England Patriots. And the great thing, if you're a Patriots fan, the great thing if you're Mike Vrabel, the great thing if you're Drake May, if you're a Patriots, someone that wants to bet the Patriots moving forward, is the knowledge that Josh McDaniels ain't getting another head coaching job. Clint Kubiak, Seattle offensive coordinator, is going to be the head coach of the Raiders next year. Josh McDaniels will be the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots as long as he wants to be the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots. And that is a great thing for New England. Because as bad as he might be as a head coach, and believe me, he is terrible. A fantastic, one of the best offensive coordinators in the history of the NFL. Vrabel, fantastic coach. A young team. You got to feel good about the Patriots moving forward. And for the Seattle Seahawks, favorites in this game, with a second-year head coach in Mike McDonald, the defensive Sean McVay, building an unbelievable defense with an ascending quarterback, maybe the best receiver in the league, an ascending offensive line, two good running backs. You can make the case that the Seahawks could be on the doorstep of a potential long-term run atop the National Football League, even if that doesn't mean multiple Lombardis, that they will be in the mix each and every year. And when I think about Super Bowl 60 and conceptualize in my head how the game will play out, and we can save the finalized bets for the end of the week, and I'll be on Super Bowl Sunday as well, all the props, the side, the total, MVP, etc. What my gut tells me is that we will hearken back to Super Bowl 49 during Super Bowl 60. I expect the Seattle Seahawks to be leading in the closing minutes of Super Bowl 60. Closing minutes can be two, closing minutes can be six. In the latter half of the fourth quarter, I expect the Seahawks to be winning. I even expect the Seahawks to be covering at that point. And the question that we will have to ask ourselves, or you can disagree with me, the question that I will ask myself, does Drake May have Brady in him? Have that greatness in him to lead the Patriots back from a deficit to win the Super Bowl? And if that doesn't happen, by the way, it doesn't mean that he stinks. It would be like saying Joe Burrow stinks because the Bengals didn't beat the Rams in Super Bowl 56. That's not what it means. But can Drake May, in year two, ascend the ladder to football immortality? My sense is he'll at least get the chance to do that coming up on Sunday. And if that doesn't get your juices flowing and doesn't excite you the way it excites me, my brother, or my sister, you're listening or you're watching the wrong show. Man, this week's going to be amazing. Radio Row here in San Francisco. I'm so pumped up to have Bill Zimmerman sitting next to me here. Right, Bill? Bill's putting the headset on.
Hello, Nicholas. Oh, yeah, there we go. Hello, Nicholas. How are we?
Listen, Bill, with a Mad Dog Russo impersonation to start the week. I absolutely love it. It is awesome to be here. The guests are going to be sensational. We're going to have amazing breakdown of the Super Bowl. We absolutely can't wait for it. And the guest parade will start next hour. But coming up on the other side, we do have some NFL news that we need to address, specifically the two head coaching hires made yesterday on Sunday while yours truly was in the air, watching, by the way, one battle after another, the DiCaprio movie that came out last year. The movie was awesome. I'll give you a Nick Costos movie review later in the show. We will talk about Mike LaFleur, new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Clint Kubiak, the new head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Coming up next, You Better You Bet, Westwood One Sports, presented by BetMGM, live from Radio Row in San Francisco, California.
Take off and run, Mendoza weaves his way first and go diving toward the end zone. Touchdown!
This is You Better You Bet, live from San Francisco on Westwood One Sports. Here's your host, Nick Costos.
Oh, you gotta love our guy, Kenny Henderson. Coming back from break with the Raiders theme song. Kenny, bring that son of a bitch up. Oh, yeah. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and one. Unfortunately for the great Raiders fans, and unfortunately for soon-to-be-named Raiders head coach Monday after Super Bowl 60, Clint Kubiak, I don't think there's going to be a lot of conquering and winning in 2026. And I would say the same thing for Michael LaFleur and the Arizona Cardinals, not that the Cardinal fan base is as big as the Raiders' robust fan base. My expectation for both of those teams in 26, and we'll talk about why, last place in their respective divisions. Coming back from break, that was the dulcet tones of friend of the show, Chris Fowler, a Tim Scanlon client, who's kind of embarrassing everyone in the media. Bill, did you see his Instagram post, Chris Fowler? He's 63 years old. He's deadlifting like 400 pounds. He's in unbelievable shape. Meanwhile, I'm on the plane yesterday ordering the snack pack, eating like salami and like this like cheese spread. Feel like a fat mess. And here's Chris Fowler, like literally deadlifting at 63, 400 pounds. He's got it going on. Chris Fowler's dominating. And they had a great call, obviously, of the national championship game, Fowler and Herbstreit, as Indiana beat Miami behind Fernando Mendoza, who we expect to be the first overall pick in the 2026 NFL draft, to the Las Vegas Raiders. So it was a really interesting experience for me yesterday. I'm flying and I get Wi-Fi on my phone, but I'm reading some books, I'm watching some movies, and I keep getting notifications of coaching hires, right? And it was like one after another, and it's like big stuff, right? Like, we'll talk about Raheem Morris, the new DC in San Francisco. I love that hire. And the way the reporting happened was so funny, because it was like Clint Kubiak has met with both the Raiders and the Cardinals, the two teams that are last to fill their vacancies. And then it's announced that the Raiders are going to hire Kubiak. And within like 20 minutes, the Arizona Cardinals announced that they're going to hire Mike LaFleur. So if you're Mike LaFleur, I don't know if you care because you're going to be an NFL head coach, but you know that you were at the bottom of the list and that Arizona would have rather hired Clint Kubiak. So I did think that was funny how it played out. Like, Kubiak met with both teams. Kubiak's now at the Raiders. And now the Cardinals are happy with Mike LaFleur. Are they happy with Mike LaFleur? I think Mike LaFleur's probably happy he gets to be a head coach. When we think about the Las Vegas Raiders now with Clint Kubiak, it's possible that the Clint Kubiak hire will be an inspired one. And he'll be an awesome head coach. And on paper, at least, as we kind of conceptualize this, whether I never played the game, but whether you did or didn't, you think about Fernando Mendoza's skill set. And think about, like, the highlight that Kenny played coming back from break, like the great touchdown run from Mendoza in the national championship game. And think about the way Clint Kubiak calls an offense, right? Coming from the Mike Shanahan tree, the Kyle Shanahan tree, and getting the quarterback on the move. And if indeed that's the pick, you can see there being success there with Mendoza as a prospect and his physical traits matching what the new head coach and the presumptive offensive play caller, Clint Kubiak, will want him to do. So this is not to say that the Raiders can't be really good moving forward. I have no idea if Clint Kubiak's going to be a great head coach or not. No idea. And the writing was on the wall, by the way, that this hire was going to be made when Tom Brady spent 3 hours slobbering over Kubiak during the NFC Championship game. When every Kubiak, every Sam Darnold, like, successful throw or JSN catch or Kenneth Walker run, Brady's, oh, my God, what a, oh, oh, KB, what a call by Kubiak. You knew that Kubiak was going to be the next head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. So maybe Kubiak will end up being an awesome head coach, and if it's Mendoza, Mendoza can be great. I guess my problem is with the 2026 Raiders, and I'm not trying to be a hater, and I'm certainly not trying to be negative here, but we have to tell the truth, right? There can be optimism associated with the Raiders moving forward. The ceiling is, like, really high. It's all, the floor is also, we have no idea how it's going to go. I think that they're in big trouble in year one. The Raiders roster is not even close to being able to contend. And the Raiders, and we'll talk more about Mike LaFleur and the Cardinals coming up in a little bit, these two teams have the same problem. And we can call this problem, for lack of a better term, the West problem. You've heard of the West Wing? Well, this is the new Aaron Sorkin show. It's called The West Problem, where Clint Kubiak and Mike LaFleur have to fight against three absolute dragons and giants in their own division to try and make the playoffs. where Kubiak, oh, you want to be a first-year head coach with a rookie quarterback? Taking over a team that was miserable, that fired a one-and-done potential Hall of Fame coach the year before? Okay, great. Guess who your competition is? The team that just hosted the AFC Championship game, the Denver Broncos. The LA Chargers, who have been to the playoffs 2 years with Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh and just hired Mike McDaniel. And, yeah, you remember Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs? They'll be back with a vengeance next year. I want to know right now. I want to know what turns you on. Shout out to Joe. I want to know how the Las Vegas Raiders are not coming in last next year in the AFC West. And you might hear me say that or watch me say that on YouTube or Twitch and say, well, obviously they're going to come in last. Well, okay. Just saying, like, as we progress into the summer and everyone starts pumping out tons of content, and this isn't to say that they can't be right. You don't think some people are going to talk themselves into the Raiders? They make the right moves in the offseason and get a couple offensive linemen, and maybe we'll see what happens with Max Crosby. This is, and I really want to hammer this point home, a talent-deficient roster. And you saw it on full display last year with Pete Carroll coaching the team. The fact that the Raiders did not try to retain Patrick Graham as their defensive coordinator, he goes to Pittsburgh to be the defensive coordinator for Mike McCarthy and the Steelers, I think is a huge mistake. Patrick Graham somehow was able to coax, like, somewhat decent play from a defense that had one truly great player in Max Crosby, who may not even be on the team next year. Defense is going to be bad. The offensive line stinks. It's horrible. And yes, it can be coached better, but like the players aren't very good. And yeah, like Bowers is awesome. And yeah, Genty's awesome. Where are the receivers? Like, is Jack Besh taking the leap? Is Thornton taking the leap? Where Tyler Lockett is 55 years. How's this going to go? I'm not saying that the Raiders can't be good down the line. They absolutely can be. And maybe they can surprise next year, and maybe I'm wrong, and Mendoza's great, and Kubiak's a revelation. Just saying, though, I think that year one is going to be a really tough sledding for the Raiders. And the win total's obviously going to be low with a first-year head coach and a presumptive rookie starting quarterback. We'll see. We'll see what happens with Geno. We're guessing it's going to be Mendoza. I don't see how this team's winning more than 4 or 5 games next year. And I think people will try and talk themselves into it, and maybe the Chiefs struggle a little bit, and we'll see what happens with the Chargers, and everyone's going to predict a backward slide for the Broncos, and they'll probably be right. I just don't know if it's going to matter. I don't think it's going to matter. I can't look at the Raiders, right now at least, with the other three teams in that division, and see any hope of competing in 2026. So again, maybe Kubiak's awesome. I don't know if that translates in year one. And maybe Fernando Mendoza's awesome. I don't know if it'll translate year one for the silver and black. We'll talk about the Arizona Cardinals hire of Mike LaFleur in just a second. But look, our show sponsor is BetMGM. And the biggest game of the year calls for a boost pack that's just as big. BetMGM rolling out the big game boost pack, and it gives you 3 different ways to boost the odds on your next big game bet. Here's how it works, so pay attention. First, you log in, and your big game boost pack's going to be waiting for you. How awesome is that? Next, my hope for the people watching this is I may memorize this by like Wednesday or Thursday. Right now, I have to read it. It's like 3 paragraphs. Next, add any big game bet to your bet slip and activate the boost token you want to use. And finally, if that bet hits with the token activated, you're getting extra winnings on top of your payout. So I'm going to translate this into layman's terms for people. If you're going to bet the big game, do it at BetMGM. Because if you win using these tokens, the big game boost pack, you will make more money as a result of your win. Why wouldn't you do that? So if you're going to bet the big game, do it at BetMGM. If you want to add a little more excitement to your big game action, make sure you grab the big game boost pack from BetMGM so you, dear listener, and you, dear viewer, can make it legendary. Download the BetMGM app today, and as always, please gamble responsibly. You better you bet on this Monday, Radio Row in San Francisco. Nick Costos here with you, Westwood One Sports. Yeah, we'll save Mike LaFleur and the Cardinals for the last segment. We'll give you a couple minutes here on Raheem Morris, the new defensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers. Now, Raheem, I think, unfortunately for him, he's not nearly as bad as Josh McDaniels. So I want to say that up front. Like, Raheem is not a disaster head coach the way Josh McDaniels is a disaster head coach. But I think it's pretty clear now through two stints in Tampa and then Atlanta. And maybe Raheem got a raw deal in Atlanta with the quarterback situation being what it was. I don't know if Raheem Morris is ever getting another head coaching job. And I don't even know if that's fair. It's fair for McDaniels for sure. It may not be fair for Raheem Morris. But I want to be really consistent here and really fair in my thought on Raheem Morris. I don't think he's a great head coach. But he is a 10 out of 10 defensive coordinator. And while it's Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp and Sean McVay that get all the credit for Super Bowl 56 with the Rams beating the Bengals, you can argue, and like Cooper Kupp's the MVP of the game, and like, by the way, Odell Beckham would have been the MVP if he didn't tear his ACL, just saying, as a Giants guy, just saying. You can make the case the most valuable member of the LA Rams in that Super Bowl, and maybe for the whole season, is Raheem Morris. When Odell Beckham Jr. tears his ACL in the first half of Super Bowl 56, the Rams, at that point, like a lot of the offensive game plan, and Beckham caught a touchdown early in the game and was on his way to winning, in my opinion, was going to win MVP. And he tears his ACL, and the Rams' offensive game plan changes from there, right? And Raheem Morris realizes that the defense is going to have to take over. And T. Higgins catches that touchdown coming out of halftime, and like it's the ridiculous push-off of Jalen Ramsey and the face mask that's not called. And from there, the Rams' defense really buckles down. And Raheem and the defensive adjustments made at halftime are part of what it propelled the Rams to win that Super Bowl. Like, the Rams' defense won. Now, Stafford and Kupp had the drive at the end. The Rams' defense won that game. Raheem Morris is an outstanding defensive coordinator and a tremendous communicator who has a ton of experience working with Sean McVay and with Kyle Shanahan throughout the years, and McDaniel, and him and Robert Saleh are basically the defensive equivalents. And you can say Mike McDonald also, but he's not really from that tree. Like, the defensive branches of this tree. So now that he gets to go work for Kyle Shanahan, with Robert Saleh taking the head coaching job of the Tennessee Titans, I don't want to discount it. I think this is a huge hire for San Francisco. I think he's a great coordinator. He's an awesome communicator and can kind of like, look, Kyle Shanahan's a little gruff, right? And I think Shanahan's awesome. And now they can have like this great yin and yang with offense and defense. And when I think about the San Francisco 49ers heading into next year and what the Niners were able to do this year, right? And think about Wild Card Weekend, not that long ago, right? Niners go into Philadelphia and beat the reigning defending Super Bowl champion Eagles, despite being severely outmanned in the game. Brock Purdy's clearly not healthy. Nick Bosa's not playing. Fred Warner's not playing. Players are dropping like flies everywhere. Everywhere you turn, a player's getting hurt. And think about what they can be next year. Now, you need the principal players to stay healthy. Like, if Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, and Brock Purdy all get hurt again, they're not going to win. Like, you can't win without your best players. But if they can stay healthier, and maybe, I don't know, this electric substation conspiracy theory, I have no idea, we'll see. If the Niners can somehow figure out health, and Bosa's healthy, Purdy's healthy, Warner's healthy, we'll see if and when George Kittle's back from the torn Achilles. We'll see what happens with Ayuk's not going to be on the team. Can they get something for him? Can Ricky Pearsall take the next step? Jawan Jennings, Christian McCaffrey stay healthy. They're going to be a monster. And I think about the NFC for next year, and I have the San Francisco 49ers right at the top of my list. That's how important I think this hire is. So yes, it sucks for the Niners if you're a Niners fan. You had the Niners, like you want to bet them next year. It sucked that they lost Saleh. Again, after he left, he was the DC, obviously wants to take the Jets job, comes back. Now he's the Titans head coach. In the same way, D'Amico Ryans got the job done as Kyle's defensive coordinator. I'm just as, if not more, bullish on Raheem Morris getting the job done next year for the San Francisco 49ers. A-plus, grand slam, slam dunk hire for Kyle Shanahan with Raheem Morris as his defensive coordinator. We'll take a quick break, and on the other side, I mean, I think the Niners are going to be good next year. Rams are probably going to be pretty good next year. Seahawks are in the Super Bowl. What does that mean for the Arizona Cardinals and first-year head coach Mike LaFleur? I'm going to tell you. Next, from Radio Row in San Francisco, California, You Better You Bet. Westwood One Sports with Nick Costos, presented by BetMGM.
Live from Media Row in San Francisco on Westwood One Sports, here's Nick Costos.
Fox Sports, courtesy of The Call. Trey McBride, touchdown for Arizona. You know that the Cardinals are going to try and get that role in this year with Trey McBride, with new head coach Mike LaFleur. Just to set the stage, coming up in 15 minutes from now to start next hour, legendary NFL general manager Ernie Accorsi will join the show. I am very excited for that conversation. Take a trip down Super Bowl memory lane with the great Ernie Accorsi. If you're a big football fan, you are going to love that interview coming up in 15 minutes. Among other topics, I'm going to ask Ernie, the best single season team is in the history of the NFL. I think he's going to have unbelievable answers to these questions. I absolutely can't wait for it. The biggest game of the year calls for a boost pack that's just as big. BetMGM rolling out the Big Game Boost Pack, and it gives you three different ways to boost the odds on your next big game bet. Here's how it works. First, log in your Big Game Boost Pack. I got to get that right, Bill. Your Big Game Boost Pack will be waiting for you. Next, add any big game bet to your bet slip and activate the boost token you want to use. And finally, if that bet hits with the token activated, you're getting extra winnings on top of your payout. So if you want to add a little more excitement to your big game action, make sure you grab the Big Game Boost Pack from BetMGM so you can make it legendary. Download the BetMGM app today, and please gamble responsibly. So the Arizona Cardinals yesterday, after Clint Kubiak takes the job with the Las Vegas Raiders, the Arizona Cardinals hire Mike LaFleur as their head coach, which feels like, you know, you're at recess in grade school and you're picking teams in dodgeball and you get stuck with the last pick and you got to take the chubby kid who can't move. No offense to chubby kids, but probably not the best at dodgeball. Just saying. Just being honest with everybody. And here's Mike LaFleur. Come on down as the last man standing for the Arizona Cardinals. It should go noted that this is the second consecutive hire that the Arizona Cardinals have made at head coach, where there were a billion vacancies and they were the last team to fill it. Now, a couple years ago, you can say that they hired Jonathan Gannon and he coached in the Super Bowl where his defense led up a billion yards in points to the Chiefs. But still, this is now the second consecutive head coaching cycle for Arizona where they have been the last team to hire a coach, which definitely says something about something. Now, I don't have, it's kind of like an open secret, and I'm far from the only person that says this, that the Bidwell family, who runs obviously the owners of the Arizona Cardinals, don't necessarily have the best reputation for how they run their team and are cheap with their facilities. And all of this is public information. None of this is like breaking news here that I'm saying. So I don't think this is like the best organization, which doesn't mean that Mike LaFleur can't win. It's not an anti-Mike LaFleur thing. I'm just saying, like, there's a reason why I think in these last two cycles, Arizona's been the last team to hire a coach. And certainly in this one, you can say that Mike LaFleur was the last candidate hired. This was not a case of, like, they were waiting for Clint Kubiak. Like, Mike LaFleur was the last name, which doesn't mean he can't be good, but that's also the truth. He was the last one. And as far as Mike LaFleur is concerned, I don't think it's fair, because people will do this. And he didn't call plays, and he's been the OC for the Rams under Sean McVay. He doesn't call plays, right? McVay calls the plays. I don't think it's fair to Mike LaFleur to look at what he did with the Jets for a couple years in 21 and 22 as their offensive play caller and say, well, he can't call plays, he's going to stink because of that. And I live in the New York area. And, you know, those years with the Jets, all the Jets fans hated Mike LaFleur. As it turns out, the quarterback was no good. Who is winning with Zach Wilson? Who's coordinating a winning defense with Zach Wilson at quarterback, a winning offense with Zach Wilson at quarterback, a winning team with Zach Wilson at quarterback? So I'm willing to give Mike LaFleur the benefit of the doubt big time here. Maybe he'll be great, maybe he won't. Obviously, he's like a McVay-Shanahan guy, like his brother Matt, and It's like all these guys, it's just funny that they all get jobs, and I don't even mean that in a bad way. And I'm sure Nate Shielhouse will now be the offensive coordinator for the Rams, and he'll probably get a job next year. Hashtag friend of Sean McVay. I think the problem with Arizona is the same problem that the Raiders have. The West problem. Next on CBS. We're great. Okay, like, you want to contend. It's one thing to do that if, like, the three teams in your division are, like, the Falcons, like, the Panthers and the Saints. No disrespect to those teams. Mike LaFleur now has to deal with Kyle Shanahan and the Niners, monster. Sean McVay and the Rams, monster. And then the team that's favored to win the Super Bowl this Sunday and Mike McDonald and the Seahawks. Monster. We'll have Fred Warner on the show later this week, the great Niners linebacker. I don't know where he was last week. He did a podcast interview last week, and he was asked about the Cardinals. And he described it as being like, if you've ever seen the meme of the three dragon heads all looking ferocious, and the fourth dragon head kind of has like its tongue wagging out and its googly eyes being like it's incompetent. Like, that's the Arizona Cardinals right now. Three dragons and the Arizona Cardinals. Kind of similar to the Raiders in the AFC West. And I think the Cardinals are at least one offseason away from truly getting there. We have no idea who the quarterback's going to be. Is it going to be Kyler Murray? We don't know. What I'll say is this, though. Think about Kyler Murray. Just conceptually. Think about Kyler Murray and the way he likes to play, right? And how he goes off script all the time. And he's really good at it. And then think about what the LaFleur-Shanahan offense asks of its quarterbacks. And is Kyler Murray truly capable of executing that kind of offense? Like, to the best of its abilities. And look, once upon a time, Kyle Shanahan and Trey Lance is way bigger than Kyler Murray, so it's not the same thing. Like, Lance is like 6'3". Kyler's like my height. He's like 5'8", 5'9". I'm not 5'9". But just saying. And maybe Mike LaFleur sees it with Kyler Murray. I have no idea. But that doesn't seem to be, at least schematically, a fit the way Kubiak does with Fernando Mendoza. Arizona's picking third in this NFL draft. It feels like, at least at the top of the draft, it's a one quarterback draft with Mendoza. So I'm sure they'll take a tackle. Maybe it'll be, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Mayoga from Miami. And a right tackle, and Paris Johnson will be on the left. Got to fix the offensive line. They got some work to do. Now, they're closer for sure. Arizona's closer than the Las Vegas Raiders. And if they were in an easier division, you could make the case for Arizona to be a surprise next year. In that division, though, with those three heavyweights at the top, I don't think there's that much of a case, unfortunately, to be made. Hour one done, hour two for you. Coming up on the other side, we will start the hour with legendary NFL general manager Ernie Accorsi here on Westwood One Sports.